Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise team. God bless you. Regards. Father, this morning I was singing that song that death could not hold him down. Death could not hold him down. Satan could not hold him down. When it was time for Jesus to resurrect, there were soldiers guarding the grave, but they could not stop him. The same Jesus is alive today. Amen. The power that raised up Jesus dwelleth in you and shall quicken your mortal bodies and shall bring to perfection that which God has promised you. Amen. You welcome to this session of the service in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you once more for another opportunity and privilege to be in your presence and to share your word. That you speak through me this morning, O God, and let your name, Lord, be glorified. As your name, O Lord, has been lifted up, let your blessings come down upon your children this morning. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, Lord, has laid my heart to share with you a topic I've titled, Our Divine Privileges. Our Divine Privileges. What are privileges? Privileges are special rights and advantages or immunity granted only to particular persons or group. Privileges are not earned but bestowed or granted or given. We have divine privileges as children of God. Amen? It's good to know that. There are certain privileges. It's true that Christianity is not a bed of roses. It's not all pleasures and joy all the time, but trials do come from time to time. And the Lord has given us grace to overcome each time we are confronted. But I want to tell you, on the other side, there are abundance of promises in the Word of God that tell us that God has special love for us. Special love for us. Amen. Special love for us. One song that say, oh, Lord, you love me so much. You love me so much, too much. Love for God, the love of God for you and for me is so much inestimable. We can't really fathom the love of God. Amen. At the new birth, we get entitled to these privileges. When one is born again, something happens in our life. There's a transformation. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25, there was a prophecy about the new birth. Many, many years, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came, Ezekiel prophesied. Say, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will cleanse you. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. Amen. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. So it was a prophecy way before Jesus ever came on the scene to die for us, that God will give us a new heart. Mankind, because man had been so given to sin, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God needed to do something. See, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Something must happen to the heart of man. And God gave that promise that he will give us a new heart. It's now past tense in our lives if we have indeed given our heart to Jesus. Amen. He has given us brand new hearts. You are no longer the old man that you used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that If any man be in Christ, if it happens that any man, any woman is in Christ, that person has a new creature, a new species. Amen. That had never been seen before. But sometimes we don't recognize this. We commonize ourselves. We think we are mere men, and we compare ourselves with unbelievers, not knowing that God has done something in our lives. He has transformed us and has given us new hearts to reason like him. A heart that's not stony, but a heart that is receptive to the word of God. That's what God has done. And it's a great privilege that we have been accounted worthy to partake of this great salvation. Amen. This spiritual transformation is made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ had died and he did not resurrect, it would just be a mere story. There was a man that came, he thought he would save the world and all that. He couldn't do anything. But it's not so. He came out of the grave and he gave us victory. And we are standing upon that victory today. Amen. He has given you a brand new heart. We are a new creation. Don't consider yourself as ordinary people. Sometimes when you are tempted to behave like the Joneses, to behave like the other people, remember that you are unique, that God has specially created you. Amen? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forevermore. Amen. That's what has happened. And sometimes too, we are tempted to believe that, look, everybody's a child of God. We are all children of God. We are all, both unbelievers, both the drunkards, smokers, and all the drug abusers, we are all children of God. Who said that? That's you. You are the one saying we are all children of God. But God hasn't said that. As many have received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Amen? John chapter 1 verse 12. It is when you experience the new birth, you become a child of God. You are never a child of God by birth. God created all of us. That's what the Bible makes us to know. But when you are born again, it gives you a brand new spirit. You have a new inheritance in Christ, and you experience the new privileges because we are no longer ordinary people. We are no longer mere men. We are children of God. So value your salvation. Know that God has done so much for you. Salvation isn't cheap, but Christ paid the supreme price for you. So you are not mere, and you cannot commonize yourself with people who are unbelievers. If you have empathy, if you have compassion, if you feel for them, preach the good news to them so that they can become children of God. Amen. You become by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great error to think, oh, we are all children of God. Just to appease people around you, just to make you feel good with them. It's never so. It's wrong, and we can only become children of God by the new birth. Amen. It's only Jesus that can give us this new status. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we're told, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no way we can say God is our Father indeed, except we are born into the family of God. Amen. This is very, very important for us to know, because sometimes we say, we are one, we are brothers and sisters. You are not my brother indeed if you are not born again. My brother in the flesh, but never in the spirit. Amen. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Preach the good news to them. If you want them to become children of God, preach the good news to them so that they too will have the new nature that you have. Amen. By virtue of the new birth, we have become priests unto God, reconciling men back to God. The priestly ministry is for us to reconcile men back to God. That was the primary function of the priest, to stand between the people and God Almighty. So never you forget that priestly duty as a minister of God. He has made us ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, 21, we are told that God has made us ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. You are all ministers if you are born again. Amen? God has made you a minister of reconciliation. Your portfolio is to reconcile men back to God. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians. We all have this portfolio. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. Are we there? Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. All of us, children of God, we have been given that ministry. So you are a minister in a way, reconciling men back to God. To the which God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Amen. Verse 21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only are we righteous by virtue of our being Christians. In fact, say we have been made the righteousness of God. You are what God says you are. Amen. And what God says I am. Amen. Do you all know also that you have become the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God dwells in you? There are so many religions in the world, many uncountable. But there isn't anyone in which they claim that the God they serve dwells in them. But that's a unique privilege that you and I have. God dwells in you. Amen. I want to say, God dwells in me. I'm a carrier of God. God no longer dwells in temples and buildings made with hands, but it dwells in the temple of recreated hearts. God is dwelling in you. You carry God wherever you go. You are traveling. You may think you are traveling alone, but you are really not alone because God is with you. And not just with you, inside of you. Amen. We're talking about our divine privileges. We didn't buy it from the market. God gave us. And it's not everybody that has access to this privilege, but you and I that are born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like the rights that every U.S. citizen has. You know, they are fundamental human rights that we all have. And if there is any legal issue, anybody want to infringe your personal right, you talk about the Bill of Rights and all that. We also have those rights and privileges in Christ that we can always refer to. Satan want to bother you. Say, Satan, you can't do that. I'm a child of God. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can't defy my body. You can't cause me to defy my body. Amen? Yes. It's a privilege that we carry God all around. We don't seek it. Oh, where is God? Where is God? So I can go and worship him. No longer looking to the temple side. Oh, my eyes look to the temple, you know, the direction of the temple to pray. You don't have to do that. Wherever you are, that's why you can pray while you are walking on the street, while you are in the cab, wherever, your car, in the office, you can pray anytime. Because God is with you wherever you are, and you carry him. Amen. So you are the temple of God. Don't defy your temple. Sometimes we want to claim that this temple, after all, belongs to me. It's my body. I can do with my body anything I like to. Nobody should control me. But don't you know that you have been bought with a price? Whenever you are tempted to make such confession, I, it's my body. I have right. We are not talking about U.S. citizenship and rights. We're talking about divine privileges. We're talking about you and God. God bought you. You don't own yourself. Amen. So you have somebody you are responsible to. Say, I, by my power, I did it. God in you doing that. Any good thing that he does through you, give him praise and glory. Amen. Specifically, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? From today, know that you are not the full store. Everything does not stop with you. It's my body. I can do with my body anything I like. No. Remember, God owns you. He bought you. He didn't just claim you from the devil. He bought you. I paid the supreme price for you. Our names are in the book of life. Amen. As many as are ordained unto salvation, their names are in the book of life. Even before we get to know Jesus, our names are there by predestination. Amen. But a time will come, you say yes to Jesus and no to the devil. And then you now realize, yeah, I'm a child of God. But no, not to God has been that you were known to him before the foundation of the world. It's just like Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, say, before I knew you, before your mother even conceived you, I knew you and called you and ordained you to be a prophet. Imagine. He was one, he said, before the mother conceived him, that God knew him. God also knew you before you were conceived. Amen. So he has everything about you in his hand. So don't be afraid because he's watching over you. You belong to him, and as you have said yes to Jesus, all things will work in your favor in Jesus' name. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. Once we're in darkness, not knowing our right from left, we're blinded spiritually, and we couldn't really tell the difference between Christianity and religion. But now your eyes have been opened. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful grace. We have been delivered. Not only are we delivered, we have been translated spiritually and seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a position of authority, a position of dominion over principalities and powers. Are we to be afraid of the devil? No. Are we to be afraid of principalities and powers? No. What about demons? Devils, no. Why? Because we are above them. Satan is under our feet in Jesus' name. Anytime Satan wants to raise up his ugly head, you let's say, no, you are a defeated fool. Christ defeated you on the cross of Calvary. Satan doesn't want to hear that defeat on the cross of Calvary, and then the resurrection. And after that, Jesus Christ resurrected. Satan doesn't want to hear that. But what he doesn't like to say or hear, you remind him. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, 5 to 6, I told that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers of darkness. Amen. We have been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We have been redeemed, bought back, not just claimed. He had to offer himself. That Jesus did that for you, did that for me. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen? Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. Let's read it, Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 13. This is what it says. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have been redeemed. But I thank God for the message that was given about 2 weeks ago. If we don't know that we have been redeemed, we have been delivered from the curse of the law, then we'll suffer the consequences. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy includes poverty. Has Christ delivered us from poverty? Yes, he has. He has delivered us from poverty. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack any good thing. He has made provision to give you all that you really need. Amen. He has delivered us from poverty, from sin, from sickness, from disease, from sorrow, and from the second death. Amen. Sickness is not the will of God for you. If you are sick, it's an intrusion. You first have to let the devil know, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sickness cannot dwell here. Confront Satan with that confession. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sickness cannot dwell here. Enforce it. Enforce your throne rights, and Satan will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have been delivered, redeemed from the second death. The second death is condemnation in the lake of fire. That's not our portion. It's not our portion at all. God has done it in the past tense. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from death, and from sorrow. So stand upon the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, we are told that Christ actually became poor so that we might become rich. Whether physically, financially, spiritually, we have been delivered from poverty. Amen. Take God at his word. The word of God is bankable. We have been declared righteous. Not only declared righteous, but we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we have already read. We have been given power over the devil and his agents. Amen. Talking about our divine privileges. You have been given that authority and power. When you sense the presence of Satan and his demonic activity, call upon that name Jesus. Mere calling upon that name Jesus caused Satan to run away, to fly away. Amen. When you call upon Jesus, Satan is agent, they run away, they flee. They can't stand that name. So recognize it that you have been given authority and power over the devil and his agents. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We're going to read that. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. See what God has for us. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and to all, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Just while we're coming to church, got this testimony from one of my daughters that she wanted to wear a particular dress and was ironing it. In the process of ironing it, a scorpion just came out. Scorpion, not cockroach, not roaches. Scorpion. She wasn't frightened. She killed it. Amen. So this scripture is very relevant to that situation. That God has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Whether they be physical scorpions or spiritual scorpions, God has given you power and authority. Amen. Enforce your authority over devil and his agents in the name of Jesus. And then he shall flee from you in Jesus' name. For this reason, we are more than conquerors. Because Christ did it all. It's not by power. It's not by anything we can do now. He has done it already. It's past tense. All we need to do is to enforce Satan's defeat. Claim your victory and enforce Satan's defeat. Remind Satan that he has been defeated already. The Lord has done that. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Who is he that's in you? Who is he that's in the world? The God of this world, small letter G, the God of this world. The same God of this world who has blinded people's eyes that they cannot see. You tell them something spiritual and they can't see with you. They can't understand. Because they have been blinded. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 talks about that. But Christ has given us victory and power over all these works of darkness in the name of Jesus. Whereof we are glad. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. God is greater. We have right to divine healing. Right is a privilege if you are a child of God. Blood washed, born of the Spirit, Holy Ghost filled. Amen. It is a right. It is a privilege. Special right conferred on you as a child of God. In the Old Testament, you know, God chose the Israelites. He made them a special people, a peculiar people that all the nations would be jealous of because God loved them specially. In the New Testament, we have been regenerated by the blood of Jesus. We are a special people unto God, a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Amen. Bringing forth spiritual offering, sacrifices unto God. That's what God has done for us. Many a time we forget what God has really done for us. And this message to remind you that he cares for you so much. God really cares for you. You are the one that sometimes we bring down yourself. We are just, look, it's my colleague. We are trying to say school together. You know, it's like this. I can be like him. You can't be like him. You can't be like her. Because you are unique and special. God has embedded so, he has invested so much in you. And should be proud of that. And maintain that privilege. Amen. Right to divine healing. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 26, we told about that woman. You know, God said that, look, as a daughter of Abraham, this healing the children's bread. Healing the children's bread is a right. You don't negotiate it. As a child of the kingdom, healing is your portion. But greater than healing is divine health, which many of us don't want to enforce. I want that enforced in my life in Jesus' name. To a great extent, I think that promise is in my life. Of recent, I've been recollecting God's goodness. How that God has been so good to me. He keeps me from sickness and diseases. The only time I had to go to ER and all that, it was because of undue exposure to cold. I was in a cold environment. I really understood what happened, but it manifested in some kind of chest pain that made doctor to see, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's that. They did all kind of tests and distress tests and found that there was really nothing wrong. God has been good to me, and I believe he's good to you too. Amen. He has promised that none of those sickness, none of those diseases will come near us. People fear cancer, fear this and all that. We need to resist all those spirits because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And by right, we have right to be healed, even if we are sick. Amen. These are privileges. Our lives are hidden in Christ. That's another thing you need to know. Just as you are hidden in Christ. Somebody has said that, look, before you can hurt me, somebody said that. See, you first have to hurt the Father and then hurt the Son. Because I am in Christ and Christ is in God. Amen. You are so protected. Amen. Yeah, you are so shielded in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. Amen. So you are not alone. You are in Christ. And Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Do you know that? He will never leave us or forsake us. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he assured us of that. When he gave the great commission, how we should go out and tell people the good news. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Yes. End of the age or end of the world. This age has not ended, but it's about ending. The church age is about ending. Amen. Yes, it will be with us until the rapture time, until the translation time, when we take us up. Amen. In Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, you see that promise also emphasized. In times of trouble, does God run away from you? No. He's ever there with you. When Daniel was in the den of the lions, did God run away from him? No. God was with him. The three Hebrew children, when they were there in the fiery furnace, was God far away from them? No. He was even there at the fourth man. So the Lord is always with us in accordance with his word. In Psalm 91, 5 to 13, I want us to read that. Especially in times we are living in. So much problems, so much chaos, so much, you see, so many diseases, so many satanic attacks, physical and spiritual. In all this, we should remember what God has said in his word concerning us. Talking about Psalm 91. God has given us promises there of divine protection from 5 to 13. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Amen? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Amen. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Amen. The Lord is faithful. The promise of God, especially at a time such as this, we need to remember this promise of God, that God cares so much for us and that he's always with us, no matter the situation. In time of trouble, it's not far from us. Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15 tells us that that he cares for us even in time of trouble. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. The day of trouble. Things you least expect, they come your way and all that. And you know it's not pleasant. It's like a plague. It's like one of those things that you don't really like. Call upon the Lord. He will deliver you. You are in a strait, not knowing what to do. In danger. In danger of impending accident or whatever. Anything that threatens your well-being. Call upon the Lord and he will answer you. He will deliver you in Jesus' name. We have the wonderful privilege of answered prayers. It's a privilege that we can talk to our Heavenly Father any day, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Amen? You are sleeping and you feel like praying. Oh, must you kneel down? No. That's a privilege. Wonderful. Whether you are asleep, oh, you can pray. Whether you are sitting on the bed or on the chair, you can pray. Whether you are walking along the road, you can pray. You can go into your closet while you are walking on the road. In your workplace, the office, there's some kind of a situation that you don't like and you can pray about it. Go into your closet. Your closet is right there spiritually. Amen. It doesn't have to be a physical closet. Shut out the world around you and commune directly with God. Because you have right to the presence of God. You have right to the throne room of God. In the Old Testament, it wasn't like that. Even the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, was the one who would go to the Holy of Holies to seek God's face. That's where God dwells. That's where, that place, that inner room, that's where God dwells, you know? It's not so anymore. He dwells in me. You carry God. You are a member. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have that privilege any time to talk to God. You can pray quietly without anybody hearing you. And God hears. Amen. Even when we don't know how or what to pray about, Holy Spirit has been given to us. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 tells us that even when we do not know what to pray about and how to go about it, pray in the Spirit. Amen. And I believe you are all filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's a promise that God has made to his own children. But there are some children of God who are not taking advantage of that. They don't even know whether it's anything like Holy Ghost baptism. I'm reminding you, the word of God says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, say, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then shall be my witnesses. Amen. Unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Holy Ghost has been given to us to guide us, to lead us. There are so many benefits of the Holy Ghost. They are part of the divine privileges that we enjoy as children of God. When we cry unto God concerning anything, he hears us. When Peter was in prison, Apostle Peter, he was in prison in Acts chapter 12, 5 to 7. What happened? The sense of God, just like you. See, Apostle Peter has been arrested and is in prison. Wow. Let's read it. You see something dramatic took place there. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison. And prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Amen. Somebody is in trouble, you pray. When you are in trouble, you call upon God yourself. You can also ask people to pray with you and for you. Yes. So, did God answer that prayer? Let's see it. God did, because he answers prayer, especially corporate prayers. Do not neglect the assembly of yourself together. When we have opportunity to pray together, even on prayer line, there are some men, I don't hear their voices on prayer line. Please, take advantage. Corporate prayer, it works. Amen? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord, amen, came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter, tapped him on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Praise the Lord. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Well, if you read down the passage, you find that when God delivered Peter speedily as a result of corporate prayer, even those who were praying did not believe that Peter was at the door knocking. If you read, it's interesting to know that. That's unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name, so that unbelief will not rob us of our blessings in Jesus' name. So that we don't just play as a routine, as a ritual, not even expecting results. But the result came so speedily, they were surprised. May the Lord surprise you beyond your imagination as you pray in Jesus' name. He will answer you in Jesus' name. Even when we don't know what to pray, Holy Spirit helps us. That's what we say. Holy Spirit strengthens us when we are weak. His Holy Ghost is treasure in earthen vessel. And so we should be grateful to God for that wonderful privilege that Holy Ghost leads us, guides us, and directs our footsteps. In Jude verse 20 to 21, one chapter, you know, Jude. He said, beloved, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. Also in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, recap of that, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Oh, what a wonderful privilege you are missing. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, miracles happen unknown to you. When God lays in your heart to pray for somebody, say, God, pray for one Philip. And you know, oh, that brother Philip. But what am I going to pray about? You don't know. What do? Switch onto that jar of Holy Ghost praying. Praying in the tongues. Praying the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues unto God. God will understand what you are saying. You may not understand yourself. People around you may not understand, but you are speaking miseries. And you are breaking chains. You are breaking yokes of bondages. Amen. It is a great privilege for us to be able to do that. When you are weak spiritually, your spiritual battery, physical battery, when it's weak, what do? Sometimes you get a jump cable, you kickstart the vehicle again. It's not that the battery is dead, but something happened. Oftentimes we know that if you put on music and the car is not in motion for a long time, the battery can get weak. And when it happens like that, you only just need a jump cable to kickstart it again and to back to life. It's never dead. Something happened temporarily and it was just weak. So sometimes spiritually, when you are weak, pray in the Holy Ghost. There's one song say, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. It is a right and privilege to be able to call upon the name Jesus Christ. If you don't know, I'm telling you. In Acts chapter 19, there were certain people who saw signs and wonders done in the name of Jesus Christ. They will just call upon one name, Jesus Christ. See, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise. What's happening? But there's one recurrent thing that they always say, in the name of Jesus Christ. So the seven sons of Sceva, we are told in the Bible, they say, we're going to do something too. Let's offer money to these people. Let's read it straight from the Bible. Let's see it. Acts chapter 19, 11 to 16. See what happened there about the authority, about the privilege aspect. Acts chapter 19 from 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? You are not recognized. We don't know. Who are you? You are not a force to reckon with. You don't belong to the kingdom. You are not circumcised. Who are you? We know Jesus. We know disciples. We know Paul. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that place naked and wounded. That's what happened. Because they didn't have the privilege, they didn't have the right to use the name of Jesus. Amen. So that you can call upon the name of Jesus anytime, any day, it is a great privilege. Amen. Thank God for all these wonderful privileges. There is also the privilege of divine preservation in the times of evil and judgment. We'll round up with that. It's a privilege that in time of judgment, in time of evil, God has promised he will protect you, will defend you, will shield you. In Egypt, when the plagues were coming upon the Egyptians because of their resistance to the will of God and their disobedience, did any of those plagues come near the Israelites? No. Why? Because God had hedged them around in Goshen, a place of safety. If God could do that in the Old Testament, what about now under a better and new covenant? Amen. He will shield you. He will build a wall of fire around you that no evil can come down your dwelling. In Jesus' name. Amen. You don't need to be afraid of them because God watches over you. In Exodus 11, verse 7, say, but against none of the children of Israel shall not a dog, bite his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Amen. You find that in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. If God did that time, he'll do much more for you and for me today in Jesus' name. Yes, when he said he asked them to kill a lamb and put the blood on their post, so that when the death angel will come around, you see, the blood, no go area. Oh, blood, no go area. Blood, no go area. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has now been slain and is for us. It's a privilege that we are hidden in him and covered with the blood of Jesus. Amen. When the world was destroyed in the time of Noah, did God preserve Noah? Yes, because he feared God. Multitude did not fear God, but Noah and his household, they did fear God, and God spared their life. In time of Lot, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, did God destroy Lot and his family? No, because he feared God somehow. Even though he chose that place or the plain where there was so much sin, the sin of sodomy and all that, like still happening today, it's a great sin in the sight of God, but God spared Lot and his family, except for the wife who looked back. Otherwise, she had clean. She was to be protected, but she refused it because she looked back. Don't look back, my brothers. Don't look back, my sisters, in Jesus' name. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I told the Lord know how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment. Amen. Now, do you know in Malachi chapter 3, 16 to 18, we are not going to read it. But God said that he will make a difference between them that fear God and those that do not. So God, they pashao, his own children, he doesn't play about their welfare. He protects them to the uttermost. And you are one of them. You are greatly privileged in Jesus' name. The coming great judgment of the great tribulation, God has made provision for you to escape it. All because of his love and privilege. In Luke chapter 21, 36, he says, you should watch and pray so that you will be accounted worthy to escape all those things that will come upon the world at that time. The great tribulation is not for you. Amen? It's a time to join the Antichrist system that deceived the whole world into one world religion and one world government. They remove their faith from God. But do you know that even before that, God will have taken us up and then we'll come with him during the second advent to judge the Antichrist. So it's not for you to be there in the great tribulation. So God has made a way of escape for you because he loves you specially. It's a special privilege. Amen. Watch it therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. We are rounding up now. There's a great responsibility to these privileges. Oh, we have all these uncountable privileges. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 12, it tells you that, look, even the Israelites, they enjoy similar privileges. They enjoy divine protection. They saw the pillar of fire by day, and then the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, representing the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how they were guided through their journey through the wilderness. They saw all that sign. They knew what happened when they were at the Red Sea, when there was sea, and behind them, Pharaoh's army. They wanted to exterminate the Israelites. See, look at them. Pharaoh was happy. In fact, 2 days ago, I watched a little clip of that show, what happened really. Pharaoh was happy. Say, look, see, we don't catch them. We don't catch them. But could he catch them? No. God used Moses. See? Just speak. Use that your rods. And the sea divided. And they parted. The sea parted and they went as on dry land. And while they escaped, the same water drowned the Pharaoh's army. Amen. So, it is all because of God's love for us, God's privilege. And at the end, in verse 12, he said, look, all these things has happened as examples to us. Let us not behave like the Israelites, because despite all those signs and wonders, some of them still sinned. They committed fornication, committed all kinds of sins. You know, remember also why Moses was on the mountain. They even had a golden calf and all that. Say, let us go back. Lest these same things happen at this time, let us take heed. Amen. I want to read directly from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he falls. God has not just given us all these privileges so that we live a careless lifestyle. Say, we are protected, we are shielded, come what may. It doesn't really matter. It's not so. Please read this chapter on your own, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and see that there is a warning there for us at this time. We children of God, we should take heed unto ourselves and not take anything for granted. Don't give any loophole for the enemy to come into your life or to manipulate you. God has given you victory over the devil. Enforce Satan's defeat and live a victorious life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Round it up with John chapter 10. He has come to give us life. Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. Abundant life is what God has ordained for you. It's a special privilege because you are a child of God. May the Lord keep you, may the Lord uphold you, and keep you blameless and spotless until his coming in the name of Jesus. God bless your house.